Hello out there. This is Mother Luella Jenkins with EOTM Radio and Media. Get creative, get results. All we need to know is how high do you want your business to go. Now, what you need to do is call us at 213-290-3573. And all y'all rappers and singers and comedians and all that out there, I'm here to tell you we got something for you, and I'm going to tell you right now. And baby, we got some people here that will give you some PR and work. Child, you'll have your press kit so tight, child, it look like you'll take it to somebody and knock their teeth out. You hear me? Child, it'll knock mine out from all these emails I got. But let me tell you, this company here, baby, we will make you so high you'll thank you up there with the law. Just make sure you give us a call, and you can hit us up too on the email at pr@eotmradio.com. Give us a call, you hear me?
This was brought to you by EOTM Radio and Media.
Hey, what's up, everyone? This is your girl, Carla B, and you are tuned in to the E-Buzz.
E-Buzz. Carla B, Hollywood bound. Get the scoop on it. E-Buzz. Carla B. Let's talk about it.
What's up, and welcome back to EOTM Radio, y'all. This is Carla B. I'm your host for the evening. This is my eBuzz show. We have a very special segment this evening that's dedicated to the Hatcher family and families like his that have experienced abuse, that have experienced the maltreatment of disabled youth. And this is what the show is going to be about tonight. I guess before I dive into all that we have in store for you guys, I'm going to share with you a little bit on how I became involved in all of this. Ronald Hatcher, also known to a lot of our listeners as singer, actor, Ron Hatcher, Ronald Hatcher. I don't know why I want to say Ron Anthony, but Ronald Hatcher, a.k.a. singer, actor, Ron Anthony, came to me. He came to me about 6 months ago prior to his son's death, and he shared with me the situation in his own words and the way his mind worked, shared with me the situation that was going on at Roswell High School. He mentioned that there had been alleged abuse within multiple Fulton County Schools regarding his son, Aaron Hatcher. And once again, I want to actually dig a little bit deep into, my beginning in this. I'll tell you this, when he came to me and shared me the story, I was floored. I was devastated. And, from there, he actually sent me documents whereas I could, do my own research, because I guess he felt that I was maybe thinking that he was too emotional or whatever. So he's like, okay, here it is right here, Carla, take a look at it for yourself. And so after I did that, I was speechless. So what I did was I actually wrote an article and I posted on my blog, EOTMblog.com, and I want to thank all the the readers and the readers that shared that particular blog, because it definitely helped move things forward a bit. I know from that blog, Ron was able to connect with a phenomenal woman who I'll introduce shortly. Her name is Teresa Edwards. She's the founder of a nonprofit organization called Justice for Children. This lady is a lifesaver. She has done so many great things for families, such as the Hatcher family. So I want to go in a little bit on my blog that I wrote. I'm not going to read the entire blog. You could go to EOTMblog.com. We actually did a blog. We had to go in and do some retractions and things of that sort. So if you read the blog when we first wrote it, and today it's a little bit different because it was some inaccuracies in there and we had to fix them and all that good stuff. But I'm going to read you a tiny bit of the blog, and then I'll introduce, bring on Teresa Edwards. And we'll start right now. Everyone within the school system is mandated to play a part in protecting our children. Creating a safe learning environment, identifying pupils who are suffering or at risk of harm, and then taking appropriate action to ensure children are safe at home and at school. Now, these should be some of the actions taken by elected and voluntary members of school administrations. I realize many of you may say it is, but in all actuality, it isn't. Now, I'm neither a child protective specialist nor a trained social worker. I am, however, a mother, I'm a daughter, friend, activist, business owner who has stumbled across the scandalous disregard of the school of certain school systems, and I'm going to say Fulton County schools, that failed to protect disabled children. Now, I'm not saying that there is no one within Fulton County School District, for that matter, that doesn't have empathy. There are people who care passionately about the rights of disabled children. I know this. Most professionals who choose to work with disabled children, they do their best to protect them from harm. but they're up against the system, and the system just isn't geared up to meet the needs of disabled youth. Now, the most recent major research, and I'm going to step back a little bit because it's not the most recent major research. This paragraph I'm about to read right now, it was done back in like 2009. This is 2011, so I know this is not the most recent to date. But within my blog, I have this most the most recent major research project in the United States was by Patricia Sullivan and John Knutson. They found that disabled children were over three times more likely to be abused or neglected than able-bodied children. Now, that's three times, y'all. This should be ringing alarm bells right now and right through the Department of Health and Education. But today, to this date, August the 12th, 2011, it isn't. Now, in regards to safeguarding our children, neither the U.S. Education Department nor the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, they seldom mention incapacitated youth. These children are rarely more than a tiny footnote in important guidance papers. So I think I'll leave it at that and not really get too deep within my blog. And at this time, I definitely want to welcome the founder of Justice for Children, Teresa Edwards. We're going to get you unmuted. Teresa Edwards, can you hear me?
I sure can, dear.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to EOTM Radio.
Thank you. First of all, hon, I want to read something to you.
Okay.
So that you understand that school system employees are obligated under the USC Code 19-7-5 to report suspected cases of child abuse. A system employee who knowingly and willfully fails to report a suspected case of child abuse shall be guilty of a misdemeanor only. Child abuse includes neglect, exploitation, sexual abuse, and or physical injury by other than accidental means. School employees should become familiar with the laws, policies, procedures concerning child abuse. System employees are protected by law and are immune from liability when child abuse is reported in good faith. A system employee having reasonable cause to believe that a parent, caretaker, or system employee has abused a student should report such cases to the principal or designee and the school social worker. The principal or designee shall then cause a referral to be made to the Department of Family and Children Services based on the system's child abuse reporting protocol. Unless disclosure is otherwise required by law, the identity of employees or other persons making child abuse referrals should remain confidential and should not be released by school personnel to the parent or guardian. That's the law.
Wow, and it's not being done.
No,
it's
not.
In the situation in regards to the Hatcher family.
It's actually not done in regards to over 500,000 children who are special needs in the United States. Last year alone in the United States of America, 495,875,000 special needs children received what is considered discipline at the hands of school personnel. Discipline.
Wow. You say discipline. So what? Break down discipline to our listeners that may think it's, yeah.
Discipline is in the form of being restrained, secluded. They call them timeout rooms, cool down rooms. It's where a child is locked in usually a dark room. And they're left there. Restraint is where the child is pinned down to the floor, velcroed, duct taped, or bungee corded to an object, a chair, or to have adults pile on top of their bodies, restricting their breathing and their movements. And then you have corporal punishment. They don't like to call it corporal punishment. They call it discipline. Discipline requires the physical incorporation of pain that is being given to another human being.
Wow.
Hitting, punching, slapping, kicking, biting, pouring hot sauce in the special needs child's mouth, spraying poisonous or toxic chemicals in their face such as Lysol, Windex, 401 cleaner. This goes on every day to special needs children within the United States. And nobody does anything.
Wow.
DFACS is powerless to investigate non-familial abuse.
That's
and non-familial, of course, means if it is not done by a relative. You can call social services until you are blue in the face, and they will not investigate non-familial abuse to children unless a parent is doing it.
Hmm.
And I want to read you something that most people...
I did not know that. That's just... My mouth is just to the floor.
We had
a
hearing 2 years ago in Congress. Congressman George Miller went ahead and got this hearing set up for us where we had parents come in and testify of their children being murdered, where you have your child sat on by adults to the point that your child's ribs are broken and they puncture your child's heart and they die. Their deaths are ruled a homicide, and yet no teacher to this day has been prosecuted.
Okay, read that again. Read that again, please.
That we have children. We had a hearing under Congressman George Miller. It was called the Restraint and Seclusion Hearing, where Congressman Miller got parents. There were over 5,000 of us who went to Washington, D.C., to testify before Congress what was being done. We have children who are being murdered by teachers. Give you an example. We had a 4-year-old little girl who was blowing bubbles in her milk. She was told to stop it. She didn't stop it. The teacher, who weighed 250 pounds, sat on top of this child's chest. She broke the little girl's ribs, and the rib punctured her heart. Her death was ruled a homicide. And to this day, none of the teachers who have ever killed any of our children have been prosecuted for killing our children in school. There is a list, a website. It is called www.caica.org. Go on there if you want to see how many children have been murdered at the hands of teachers, and not one person has been prosecuted.
That's crazy. That is so devastating. And before we even dive a little deeper in that, I know that you've been given information since you've been on air, but I want you to, if you can share with our listeners a little bit about you and your organization. And I know last time I was able to call into your show, which is a show right here on Blog Talk Radio as well, I wanted to ask you a couple questions, not necessarily on that show, but just to, find out what made you even, start an organization such as this. So if you don't mind, if you could just share a little bit about yourself and your organization.
In August 2003, I put my special needs 5-year-old autistic daughter in a classroom. And the first week that I was in there, I witnessed a child being struck so hard that she was knocked into a concrete wall. And I'm one of these people that I stood there and I looked at it and I thought, well, I had to have missed something. I didn't see what I just saw. There's no way I saw an adult hit a 5-year-old little girl who weighed maybe 35 pounds and knock her into a wall to where the child passed out. Mm. So I started paying attention to what went on in the classroom. And not only did I not re-see that again, I saw children being grabbed so hard by their arms and jerked off the floor for simple little things such as rocking in the middle of the floor. Children being forced to urinate and defecate in their own clothing where the teachers would tell them, sit there and shut up, when these children would say that they had to go to the bathroom. And then my own daughter was abused. And at that time, there were no organizations. There was nowhere for a parent to go to for help. And everywhere you turned, it was like, oh, my God, you're kidding me. This really happened? You mean teachers are doing this? And where nobody could believe that it was going on. Mm-hmm. And one of the little girls in my daughter's classroom, her skull had been cracked so many times from being thrown into a wall that she had 16 fractures showing up on a CT scan. And she ended up developing a syndrome called Steven-Gastrich syndrome, where the child now has seizures so violent that she propels herself through the air. And no one was ever prosecuted for the crimes that were committed to her or any of the other children. Where my own daughter came home at 5 years of age, and we asked her how was school today, because we figured that we had finally gotten I figured I'd made enough complaints that the school teachers had gotten it through their heads not to touch these children.
Right.
And my daughter turned around and she says, Mommy, teacher says you're a fucker and you're damned to hell for marrying a nigger. And that was the first time our child had ever had race ever thrown into her life. And she says, teacher was really mad today, Mommy. Look, teacher hit me. And my daughter had bruises all across her chest below her dress line.
Oh, my God. Wow. Yeah, I... Wow.
And that's how justice for children began. Mm. Because there wasn't anything out there. There weren't any organizations to help parents or to help parents find lawyers or therapy. And the one thing I found out is that when your child has been harmed in school, not only does it affect the child who's been harmed, but the whole family is harmed. The whole family suffers from it. You have brothers and sisters who feel responsible, feel like it was their responsibility to protect their baby sister or their baby brother. You have fathers who feel that they're not a man, they're not a real father, because they couldn't protect their child from these people. You have mothers who go through such abysmal guilt because they felt powerless to do anything to protect their child. And you bring your child into this world with all kinds of expectations. There are no limitations on your child. We're not stupid. I mean, we all know that our parent children are not perfect. They do rotten little things as kids. But that's the key word. They're all children. They're not adults. They're not mature. They're children. Children screw up. Children do things wrong. That's where we come in to lead them, to show them, well, this is not what you should do. This is the way we should do something. But you don't beat on them. You don't kill them. And Justice for Children, we got together with other organizations, licensed art therapists, physical therapists, behavioral therapists, and lawyers, and we set up a network so that parents, there would be professionals out there to help the parents and the children to recover from the abuse that's being done. And hopefully, maybe one day, we can make it to where it's illegal for any teacher to do anything like this in the United States of America.
Right, and that's my hopes as well, because it's so devastating. I just hate that any family would have to go through anything like this. I think that families with disabled children, they have it hard as well. I know they go through tons of emotional things as they then have to deal with something like this. It's almost like a double whammy, and I'm not even going to imagine the hurt, the pain, and the devastation. I do know also, though, disabled youth, it's not a sad story in a lot of cases. These children, you know, they're brought up in great families. Their families love them. They've never even felt hatred until they get to a situation where they're outside of the home, a school, or what have you, and they have to, this kind of pain is inflicted on them, and that's the really sad, the devastating part about that. And right now, I want to go ahead and I see that we have, and he goes by a couple of different names because he's a superstar, but today he's just Ronald Hatcher. He's the father of Aaron Hatcher. For our listeners, you may know him as Ron Anthony. And with that, I do want to open up the phone lines and welcome you, Ronald. Welcome to the E-Buzz Show.
Yes. Only thing I want to say, I really can't talk about the situation, but I want to thank everybody. I want to thank Teresa. I want to thank Justice for Children, Cherie, I mean, EOTM, CNT Entertainment, Tate Music Group, everyone, because without you all, I couldn't do it. And I want you to know this from my heart, that I thank you, and I thank you, Teresa. I love you so much, and I never met you. I love you so much, and I never met you, and I just want you all to look on Facebook, donate to this organization, because I'm telling you, this is my mother right here that's fighting. This is my mother, Teresa. She's a fighter, and
yes.
I just I It's like she's God sent, and I thank God for her. I mean, that's all I can say. And everybody else that's helping and helping EOTM for just, I mean, that's the best PR I've ever had. And I can't even explain it to, because some people, they could just go and do whatever else. But EOTM, I thank you. And I'll just leave it at that. And I'm sure you will see more of me. Thank you. And you all be blessed.
Yes, thank you so much. Thank you so much. And for the listeners that didn't see the segment that aired in Atlanta on yesterday, Ronald Hatcher was on WSB TV, and they interviewed him in regards to this whole devastating situation with his son, Aaron Hatcher. And it's such a sad story, but some good can come from this. It really can. And I know, Teresa, when I was looking and trying to figure out what to title the segment today, I'm like, I just want to think of something that's going to really, you know, just show the strength and the love of the Hatcher family, to show the strength and the perseverance of this young 18-year-old youth, Aaron Hatcher. And the title is Every Life Has a Story. And I think that is so very fitting. And I see, went through the Facebook page that was created for Aaron. Ron, if you're still there, what is the Facebook page for Aaron Hatcher that was created?
Yes.
What is the name of it?
Justice for Aaron.
Justice for Aaron. If you guys are listening to the segment tonight, I know you got a Facebook profile. Go to Justice, the number 4, Aaron, which is spelled A-A-R-O-N. Yeah, Justice for Aaron. Make sure you like that page. And make sure you donate to different foundations that are trying to put out information and bring more awareness to certain certain things that are important, you know, and it's so important. And Teresa, you can vouch for that, because, you know, I think you've spent the better part of your life, and you'll probably be doing it for the rest of your life, and just pushing this.
Yeah.
And I want to thank you as well, because you were the first person to call after the article was put out, and just your passion. And just to hear you over the phone, and I'm thousands of miles away in California, and you're in Atlanta, and you're calling me saying, I read that article. Oh, my God. You need to know this. This is what you need to know, that it did not just happen to Aaron Hatcher. It has happened to hundreds of thousands of children across not just the U.S., but it's happening everywhere. And you are, just like Ron said, you're godsend, Teresa.
I'd like to read something to you so that your listeners can hear it. And I'm going to be doing something else on next Friday's show, on the Justice for Children show, but I want to read something to you. This is the date of the incident, November 17, 2004. Date of report, November 18, 2004. Allegation states that Ms. Pickens was witnessed to have hit Child 1 on the back of the head with an open hand. Child 1 is a student in Melanie Pickens' class. As I am sure you're aware, it is difficult to manage physically due to both the child's size and child's impairment. Child is loud and disruptive in class, requiring intervention frequently. Unfortunately, it is not uncommon for child to be hit, usually in the head, with an open hand. I have personally witnessed this on many occasions by both the teacher and one of the assistants. The student frequently cowers and covers his head when child feels they are about to be disciplined. Child usually responds by cowering, at least temporarily, and echoing the disruptive behavior. I have not witnessed any type of injury, such as red marks, bruising, or swelling, although the hitting at times is quite hard. Additional concerns include calling the students little shits, using the word F-U-C-K, brats, in their presence, taking a student out of the classroom setting when the child passes gas, and spraying disinfectant on her. Another incident, which was reported to me and later witnessed, involves child 2, also in the same class. When child has passed gas in class, child has been rather harshly and drug removed from her seat, taken into the hall, had her pants pulled down to her ankles, sprayed with Lysol, especially around child's bottom, and made to stand in the hallway. I have never felt that the child understands what the offense is. And finally, restraining a child with spasms using a Velcro strap to hold child's spasming arms to his wheelchair. Allegation states that Ms. Pickens remarked, "I know we are not supposed to restrain kids, but we won't call this a restraint," prior to wrapping Velcro straps around child's arms. Ms. Pickens admits to having hit child number 1 on the head. No physical injury was identified. This appears to indicate poor choices and discipline strategies. Internal monitoring and intervention is recommended. Reported to Child and Family Welfare Services? No.
Wow. And why? Why do you think these types of things are not being reported? I mean, it's a crime not to report them, correct?
It is.
These are happening on school grounds. So, in your opinion, why are these being reported?
Deniability. You admit a crime is taking place on school grounds to a child. You are liable. There is a tape recording, Carla, that I'm going to be playing next Friday on my own show, where you hear a school district personnel. She is asked by a police officer, "Well, how do you feel about the abuse that was perpetrated to these children?" "Well, no, it's not abuse, it's just discipline." The officer turns around and says, how do you feel about the discipline then that you witnessed?" She giggles and laughs on the tape, and then she says, "Well, it's not like they're real humans. They're not real people. They don't feel anything."
She said that?
Yes.
Wow.
Now, this is a licensed clinical social worker on this tape that works for the school district. My child and the thousands of other children who are special needs. And first, see, and I want people to understand something. It's not like our children asked to be born with autism or muscular dystrophy or multiple sclerosis or cerebral palsy. Our children didn't do anything wrong. They didn't ask to come here this way. And for every special needs child that's born, and the way that I look at my daughter and every other child, is it's God's way of letting us know that he still has faith in mankind to do the right thing. And if you just take 2 lousy seconds out of your day and you listen to them, spend time with them, they will teach you things that you can never imagine being taught. The one and first most important thing that children like my daughter and others can teach you is they teach you what true love and empathy is. They love unconditionally. They never have a harsh word to say to you. They will never, ever do anything malicious to harm you. All they ask is for you to love them back.
That's so sad. This is so many, it is devastating. I want to really quickly, Teresa, we have someone in the chat room that just shared a statement that I was going to read on air, but I asked the person to call in. So I believe I don't know how to pronounce the name. I want to say it's Hada Sa, and forgive me, but I've unmuted you at 973 area code. You are live on the eBuzz show. It sounds like you have you're streaming live through your computer. So if you can put your computer on mute, that'd be great.
Name. I want to say it's Hada Sa. And
yeah, that's me. I hear me. I do sound really cute. Thanks for that. but go ahead
funny.
And put your computer your sound on mute.
Yeah, it is on mute.
Okay, all right. So you're unmuted, 973-279. Welcome
to
the show.
Oh, don't even say that.
No, I just said that. I wouldn't say the whole number. Don't worry.
That is enough.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry.
I'm
going to edit that part out. It's a live show, but I'll figure it out. But welcome to the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I want you to, evidently you have firsthand knowledge on some things, but before we even get into it, I don't know how much you can divulge as far as you. If you can't say your name, you could definitely say the state that you're calling from, and then you can go ahead and elaborate on the comment that you posted in our chat room on EOTMradio.com.
You know, like I said, you know, and my comment is that, you know, I've witnessed students personally being mistreated, and, you know, I did report it to an administrator at the same time, parent. A parent was actually with me when this occurred, and this particular colleague was known for, you know, beating up on the kid. And there were other teachers who at different times had reported incidents, you know, that we had all witnessed or were aware of, or, you know, the students complained. And when once you report certain things, you then turn around, become like the bad guy in the building. It's not
retaliated against.
So were you a teacher?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Okay.
And by the grace
okay.
of God, I still have my job. I mean, our union even was setting us up to save this one particular person from their job. And, you know, the strangest thing, it wasn't until, like, last year that something finally came out in the local paper that this person actually finally lost their job. They actually paid him a salary for 3 years, almost $400,000 in salary while he was out on suspension. And I heard it was close to, like, maybe it was just as much money with defending him with our union dues. And meanwhile, all the other witnesses who had witnessed different cases of abuse, we were blackballed.
Mm-hmm.
Our careers were never the same again. I was on a track to, you know, grad school, you know, trying to become an administrator, cleaned out my bank account to go to school, and then all of a sudden it was being transferred around. They called it the shuffle.
Mm-hmm.
And your opportunity to stop at the door, and everyone was always given, you know, the bad, like everyone had a bad impression about you. If you witness anything and you actually turn it in, if it once going to make the administrator look like they're not doing their job, you can forget it. And everything is by word of mouth. So oftentimes there's people who want to step in and help those kids and care. I mean, we see that every day.
Right,
when you
right.
advocate
so,
for kids,
mm-hmm.
you're facing two different monsters. You're facing the political system within the district, and the larger it gets, the worse it gets. And you're also facing the parents on the outside who automatically assume that everybody who is, you know, a teacher is not, you know, they can't trust us anymore.
Wow.
If that makes sense to you.
Yeah, it does make sense. It does make sense. So why do you, is it accountability issue with the school systems? They know that it's happening, but for whatever reason, they want to shuffle underneath the rug, and they just want to make everybody else seem just hush, hush.
Accountability issue, you know, in terms of, well, who's going to be held responsible?
Exactly.
If this
yeah.
is reported. And there's really no watchdog group out there that, you know, it's really going to come in and actually see what's going on. I mean, you have the Division of Youth and Family Services and all these other associations that are supposed to do their jobs, but they're not necessarily there when they're supposed to be. They come if they're – all right, let me make sense of this. They come if something is reported, but they only come and they'll speak. They may do an investigation, but they're not really looking at – they're only looking at the symptom. They're not looking at the cause, you know?
So let me ask you a question, and this is posed to you and Teresa, considering you are directly, you're a teacher within the school system.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this could be more so towards like the government as far as the way the law is, things are mandated.
Mm-hmm.
But why is it that somebody, a teacher can report abuse that's going on at home, but
mm-hmm.
when individuals report abuse that's going on in school, it's swept underneath the rug?
Because, I mean, it affects what, you know, your immediate line of supervision. You know, if they don't handle it, then, you know, there's another dirty secret, all this abuse, too. You know, teachers are abused every day. I'm telling you, I've had students who wanted to attack me
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
And nothing was done about that. Curse you out. Students who were threatening us for a whole year because our jobs were all on the line with all of these reduction in force letters, and they pretty much telling you you can't do anything to them. Meanwhile, you're just trying to get them to pick up a pencil and just take notes. And these are just students who are not severely disabled or, you know, who are not, like, you know, facing multiple challenges, whether physical or, you know, whatever it is. I've had students who have threatened to do bodily harm, threatened to have gang members come to the school, and if you report that, then you're also a problem. So most of the time, teachers right now are pretty much living in fear. They would rather turn their backs rather than having to report anything.
Wow. But as Teresa said, Teresa Edwards said,
I don't know this whole story, so, you know, with,
right.
with particular.
Oh, no, we, no
Mary,
Carla, we do
Mary
have
Hatch.
Teachers who are retaliated against.
Right.
And I'm not saying
right.
that all of our teachers are bad. We have some damn good teachers
yes.
who work their butts off here in the United States.
Right.
But when they do see abuse, and
mm-hmm.
I've had
yes.
teachers, I've had school nurses, home nurses,
yes.
where they have gone ahead and reported the abuse, and the school systems have retaliated against them so viciously.
Yes. Absolutely.
I mean, they have lost their jobs. We've got convicted pedophiles, Carla, working in our school systems, where we allow them access to children, but we
mm-hmm.
will take a teacher who has made a report, a valid report, of a teacher committing abuse to a child, and we will stick them in what we call a rubber room.
Yes.
And they will stay there until after the school system decides what they're going to do with that teacher who actually made the report, which is one in good faith.
Yes, right.
They will stick them in a rubber room, and they will stay there for the rest
well,
of their
you know,
careers.
Take you out your classroom, out of your area of expertise, and put you in a situation that's designed to make you fail.
Mm.
You know, where they
yeah.
hope you will quit.
That's right, exactly.
Wow.
A lot of
yeah, I think
and the sad
mm-hmm.
the part about it that I'm not that I really say you know it's really foul is the fact that also they would do this in our unions. There's members of our unions because they also use colleagues to actually carry out their little plans. And it's sad because then you could get transferred to another school and meet an administrator that you love and even feel like, okay, now I could start all over and just pick up where I left off and resume with my career when all in all, they're still part of the plan to get you to quit because you witnessed something already.
Right.
I mean, and because at the end of the day, people's pensions are on the line, and many people who have retired and received their nice lucrative pensions, you know, many of them never should have gotten those pensions because what they allowed to happen in their schools. I mean, I don't know if you guys have ever heard. See, I'm coming from a different standpoint now because I don't think I'm really addressing what your topic was tonight in terms of whatever happened with this particular student. But I'm just going to tell you that many teachers, when they see things, they face a lot of abuse. And it was so
right.
bad that I had to actually go out and educate myself to learn how to deal with it. I found a book called Mobbing, Emotional Abuse in the American Workplace, that really helped me to cope with what I was going through because I knew at the end of the day I did the right thing. And I did it because I saw a kid get beat up more than one time.
That's crazy.
It cost me so much, but now I'm at the place now where I can say, by his stripes, I'm healed. Because
right,
I always
right.
knew what was going on, couldn't pinpoint it, couldn't prove it, and even after we knew, a group of us knew, and was they transferred us to all different places, it wasn't until this particular person was on trial and they had to start subpoenaing us to come in and give a testimony, and even after we gave a testimony, and even after they found just cause, we still faced the backlash.
Wow, that's
still
something.
Still faced the backlash, and this person got paid. It was in the newspaper. This person got paid for 4 years straight, and our union spent over $400,000 trying
to happening.
Defend
mm-hmm.
this person, and they got full salary.
Wow.
But there's a
yeah.
there's a website that they can actually go to, Carla. They need
okay,
to do
okay.
some research. It's actually, believe it or not, through the New York Times. Tell them to look up the story called Rubber Rooms. You will find where we are actually taking teachers who we know are sexual predators and putting them in what the teachers call rubber rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And we pass, Congressman George Miller called it passing the trash. where we are taking known convicted sexual molesters of children, and we are putting them in other school districts where we transfer them with glowing referrals and recommendations just so that they can get these people out of their own school system because they know they're a liability to them.
Wow.
What I want to do really quick, hold tight. Our time is dwindling. My show is 2 hours, but we have a second part to the show in about 15 minutes. So I definitely want to get everything in, and then I want to be able to go to the phone lines and get the people that have been holding on. So I don't know if this young lady wants to talk, and guest caller and Teresa, definitely stay on. This lady right here is, her name is Sweet T. She's one of our radio personalities here on under the EOTM Radio Network. I see that she's been listening to the show. So were you just listening, or did you want to chime in and say anything, Sweet T?
First of all, I want to say hello to everyone.
Hello.
Yeah, and I really didn't want to say nothing, but since I'm on here, I might as well. This is a very pressing topic show, and, you know, you learn something new every day. It's just crazy. I'm really lost for words. I'm very emotional right now. It's crazy because I know I have a daughter who's 8 years old, and I mean, I still do, but go pick her up from school at the time when I stayed in Georgia, and I've seen a lot of disabled kids, and I always wonder if they treat them right. That always cross my mind, like if they were taken care of. Were they at school? So, you know, now, you know, that just listening to the show, it's
right.
Crazy, you know. That could have been my daughter, my son. And so I'm a mother, so it don't matter if it's my son or my daughter, I'm a mother, and it hurts. And if I want a mother, it still hurts. So it's just crazy.
Yeah,
you know?
it's devastating.
I'm going to finish listening to the show and...
Okay.
And I'm okay.
We appreciate it. We appreciate it. We really do. Thanks so much, Sweet T. We really appreciate you. Really quick, I want to say a little bit. I wrote an article after Ronald Hatcher, after the segment was aired yesterday on ABC in Atlanta. And Teresa, it's so hard for me to call him by Ronald Hatcher when I so often just call him Ron Anthony. Him being one of my clients and all, but I did another article which was titled the same as this show, Every Life Has a Story, Carla B. on the Death of Aaron Hatcher. So I actually highlighted a little bit of information in regards to the interview yesterday. So I know that this story today is about Aaron Hatcher and other children like him. So that being said, I want to share some couple things in regards to him. Now, Aaron Hatcher, when he passed away, he was 18. He suffered from muscular dystrophy and cerebral palsy. And he couldn't talk or move on his own. And his story is a story that spanned, from what I understand, 4 years and multiple schools. And it all reeked. This whole thing reeked of so many lies, deceit, and cover-ups. It's unfathomable, especially to a parent of a disabled child. But Ronald Hatcher, he appeared on Channel 2 News in Atlanta on yesterday, August the 11th, and he shared his heartfelt story with the world. And I'm going to say a couple quotes from him. He said, and you can actually go to the ABC site, and you could find it there in Atlanta, Channel 2 ABC News. He said, "You lose a child to something you fought so hard for, it makes it seem like you are less than a father, because I was trying so hard to fight." And he also said that a specialized wheelchair and brace were required to keep him in a position where he could breathe. And according to Ronald, due to some of the suspicions of child abuse, they had their home nurse Aaron at home. They had him, the nurse, follow Aaron to school, and she was one of the people that witnessed some of the abuse. But you got to understand, a nurse dealing with a parent, there's a fine line because there's so much only, you know, so much information that you can really share with the parent in regards to, you know, medical things that are being done. So it's just a crazy story, and there's so many loopholes and lies and deceit and so much devastation. And at the end result, we have a child that died supposedly from a heart attack. So, yeah, him and his family were on Channel 2 WSB-TV in Atlanta sharing their story. And also, we'll put out there that Roswell Police Department did confirm with Channel 2 that they are looking into the family's allegations. And the Hatcher family, they have found an attorney, which is a beautiful thing. Many kudos to Teresa Edwards from Justice for Children, because she definitely did her part in making that happen. They have an attorney that's going after the school system. I don't know what kind of justice that's going to come from it, considering we all know that the school district is not going to admit any kind of thoughts. I don't know what is going to come from it, but if nothing else, we bring awareness to families of disabled youth, to families of able-bodied children. It'll be a beautiful thing in America, because that means we're all looking, we're all paying attention, and we're all doing our part in stopping this craziness, this abuse that's devastating and killed so many young children in America. Teresa, I'm going to go ahead and turn it back over to you so you can elaborate a little bit, so considering you've been the right-hand woman, so to speak, with the Hatcher family since this article was put out.
Well, there's something I wanted to read to you. This was a statement, actually, that was sent to me. I went ahead and I read the school district, the rules as far as abuse reporting. This is a statement that I was given. The Fulton County School District takes seriously the welfare of its students, according to the Fulton County School Discipline Guideline. This does not seem true at all if the students have disabilities. For children with special needs, as one educator said, Pickens, abuse was condoned by the system. This hardly seems like a concern, much less a serious concern, for the welfare of students with disabilities.
Wow. So what does that mean to listeners that are able to listen to that and not really understanding some of the terminology? Can you break that down for
It means that the school system knew this woman was abusing children and that they did nothing to protect the children that are precious. Every child is precious. I don't care if they're special needs or average child. But
right.
I'm asking parents, get involved, do something. Don't turn a blind eye. If you see something wrong, and I realize that for a lot of teachers you're going to face a lot of hell, but reach out and find an organization, whether it's Justice for Children or an advocacy group. And we have a lawyer that helps us out who will jump in and help you, and she'll protect you. And there are lots of other organizations who have lawyers who will jump in and protect you if you're willing to stand up. And for the parents who are afraid to stand up because you're terrified to death of being retaliated against, I understand what the retaliation, I understand the fear that goes along with it. I know, because the school district did it to me. They actually tried to put me in prison on trumped-up charges. I've had mothers call me from jail where they've been arrested, where they have actually gone to pick their child up from school, and they've been accused of trespassing on school grounds. And then another thing for parents, you've got to understand what the school system is no longer. It's not like what it was when I was a kid, and I'm almost 50 years old. It has now become a big business. It is worse than the mafia nowadays, and I know that sounds pretty bad.
No, it sounds like it.
It's the truth. Have you seen the Cartel movie?
Thank you. I mean, this is your child, and especially a special needs child, they are worth thousands of dollars to school systems.
Yes, they are. We don't get what we need.
I know. They will fight you tooth and nail to keep that money. To give you an idea, for the lady that's calling it, that's in California, the state of California last year alone, under Title I and IDEA money. And IDEA stands for Individuals with Disabilities Education Act. The state of California got $311 million from the federal government just for their Title I and IDEA schools. And not even half of that money has gone to the school systems. It has been appropriated and being paid to administrators.
Yes.
Some of our,
wow.
Give you an idea, a teacher makes roughly 35, her beginning salary, if she's lucky, in some states, is $35,000 a year, which is, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, the worst amount of money to be paid. My garbage man makes more than that a year.
Right.
And he has less responsibility. But an administrator, okay, an assistant superintendent, the superintendent's secretary, their minimum salaries, beginning salaries, is $145,000 a year.
So I have a question for you.
Go ahead, hon.
No, go ahead. You can finish that statement. I'm sorry.
We are paying them, and plus, you know, you have to remember the administrators, you're paying for their teacher union dues, their 401Ks, their health plans, their pension plan, and they have no role in actually educating our children. They are going to do everything they have to do to make sure no one knows what's going on. I had a teacher once tell me that she tried to report abuse, and her principal, who she went to, told her to her face, what happens here stays here, and if you want a job tomorrow,
wow.
You will take your stupid ass home, and you will shut your damn mouth.
Mm.
That
wow.
child later died.
Mm.
And to this day,
wow.
that woman deals with the guilt that because she was so afraid of losing her job,
losing
and she had
job.
Two children of her own who
mm-hmm.
were special needs, and she was a single mother. She needed her health care plan. But to this day, that woman deals with the guilt knowing, and she always wonders, did I do the right thing?
Mm.
Could I have stopped him from dying?
Wow, that's devastating. That's something.
I had a big mouth because I believe silence is agreement with the adversary. And, and you know, it took me a while to figure out what was going on when I witnessed it. And,
right.
and you know, we were all separated from one another. You know, all the other witnesses from different incidents, it wasn't until like three, almost 4 years later that
mm-hmm.
we actually was able to pinpoint and say, this is the reason why it was going on. And, and up to this day, there's been no form of recompense, nothing that was done to assist the people who were being targeted. Basically, we would have felt under the protection of, like, the Whistleblower Act, but we were still out there by ourselves in terms of how do we make it day-to-day. Going to work was hell. And every August, right at a certain time in August, I get knots in my stomach. Because
well, I want
know what the next year is going to be like.
Right,
or
right.
because you witness it and you speak out and you advocate for kids. And there's times that you serve as an advocate for children and try to help those special need parents out, and they're the same people who most of the time would turn on you and go right back to the same administration that's doing the kids in.
Right, correct.
We got to be abuse is one thing, but you really need to really find, well, what is the true cause, or not even the true cause within the building, why was it allowed to continue?
Exactly. I think that's the key word. And then also, because I'm going to tell you, this conversation tonight, it could turn into about three different topics because we've touched on so many different things that definitely need awareness. I want to kind of retract it a little bit and talk a little bit about the money thing. This whole thing, you know, definitely I could see it being you know, something where it's monetary gain. Because I know people, I know families and friends who, specifically friends in different states who have came to me with different stories in regards to their children. They told me, well, they said that my child needs to be in special ed. And so I'm like, well, this child has always excelled in the other school. Why? Because a child has maybe some behavioral issues. They're trying to pin them into special ed. And it's all really making sense because it's all about, you know, a
money.
Certain amount of money coming. That's
and
crazy.
And if a child is black, Carla, or if they are of Mexican descent, there is more money And here in the South, they have what they still like to call the one-drop rule. And I know this personally. When we originally enrolled my daughter, and this is back in 2003, I was told, well, your daughter's black. And I have never registered my children as black. Their father's a black American, and I am German, Dutch, and Irish. And I always register my children as other. I actually fought the school district and was told, well, we have the one-drop rule here in the South, and do you realize we're going to get more money because we're going to list her as black? I said, in a pig's eye. I don't care how much money you get, but if the child is black, the child is ESL, or the child has other Asian characteristics, there's more money. The federal government pays more, and so do the state taxpayers. Everyone who owns a home funds the school districts. You go to the grocery store. You go to Walmarts. Your tax dollars are funding these school districts. Your federal tax dollars are funding these school districts. For a Caucasian child who is not special ed, regular average student, average cost per student is $35,000 for a non-special needs or ethnic child. You throw the ethnicity in there, you try to put the child's skin color in there, and it goes up to $65,000 from the federal government alone for a non-disabled child. You throw a special needs child in, it can go up to as high as $245,000.
Wow.
Plus grants. There's more money. It's all a business.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. It definitely is. Our time is definitely almost up. I want to give you the opportunity, Edwards, to tell the listeners about your show and where they can find you online.
They can look it up under the Blog Talk Radio symbol and just type in Wake Up Call Show. I and another mother do. She does political, and I do the children's issues.
Okay. I've already liked it. I've already liked your site.
I
liked it last week when I chimed in for when you interviewed Ronald Hatcher, but you do so many great things, and you are truly a godsend and a blessing, and I just want you to know from the bottom of my heart I appreciate you. Guest caller who's a teacher, I didn't get your name, but I just want to say
that, my name is Jackie.
Jackie, let me just tell you, we have an open door policy here, and it doesn't entail anything as far as governmental open door policy or your school districts.
Right.
It's for real. You know, if you got
you started with my telephone number. That would area code.
Well, if you want,
Jackie,
if you want, you can go to a Facebook and look up the page Justice for Children.
Yes.
Or you can go to Justice for Children International. It's the number 4 between the children, and I can put you in contact with a teacher support group where they get involved and they help teachers who have witnessed these acts.
Okay.
And they also have their own lawyers to get involved to help teachers so that they can protect you if you're interested in it.
Is Justice with the number 4?
Yes, ma'am. Justice for Children International at blogspot.com. And you can look. You can go online or just get my information from Carla. Carla's got my home telephone number, and I can put you in contact with a teacher's organization. They have lawyers, they have psychologists, everything that can actually help you. And I can also put you in contact with other people who might be able to get involved.
I know people who had nervous breakdowns from all of this.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And
I can believe it.
And had to walk away from the job. No one would.
I can believe it.
Nervous breakdown. Had to walk away from the job when those administrators get on you. And then they try to just, you know,
run
you out.
But look, definitely I want you guys to definitely connect with Ron Anthony on Facebook as well. You can he spells his name Ron, R-A-H-N, Anthony. And so make sure you go to his page, add as a friend. And I am right now looking for the Facebook page for his son. I know he mentioned it earlier when he was on. Teresa, do you have that handy?
It is it's a www.facebook, and it's the word Justice, the number 4, Aaron, A-A-R-O-N.
Okay.
Yeah, make sure you guys this family. They are fighting a hard fight, y'all. They're in the process of starting a lawsuit with Fulton County Schools. And they're going to need all the support they can get, so please show love to them. Show love to the Ron Anthony, a.k.a. Ronald Hatcher, because before he was a singer, he's always been a father. He's always been a husband. He's such a good friend. And I hope and pray that Teresa Edwards,
yes,
that I just want to stay connected to you. I want you to email me your different links because we have a link exchange on one of our blogs. I definitely want to push as much people to you that may need your services because you did wonders for this family. And from the bottom of my heart, I want to say that you're a godsend, and I have you on speed dial. So, you're beautiful. You're a godsend. I just hope you know that. Before we end this segment, I do want to say really quickly that someone else within our chat room have posted some great information. She put a link from the New York Times, which is entitled "Where Teachers Sit Awaiting Their Fate." It's a great article. We'll have the
yes.
article linked on our
that's
blog
the rubber
site.
Room, dear.
Okay, that's the rubber room. Okay, we'll
that's the, yeah,
that
they
in.
Actually call it the rubber rooms. I'm not kidding you. That is what the administrators and the state call this room for
wow.
teachers. They call it a rubber room.
Okay, well, our listeners can definitely read about this. It's called "Where Teachers Sit Awaiting Their Fate." It's on the New York Times, nytimes.com. We'll link it to our eotmblog.com. Ladies, thank you so much.
100%.
Thank you so much. Teresa, did you have any last words? Teresa Edwards.
I just want to tell everybody, don't prejudge any child or any parent.
Mm-hmm.
And God forbid, don't stand idly by and watch a child being hurt.
Right.
Remember, that child that you're sitting there watching get hurt, 30 years from now could be your cardiac surgeon.
Right.
And you're going to need that child then. They need you now.
Okay.
Amen.
Write Congress, write this your senators, your U.S. congressmen and your U.S. senators, and demand federal protection for our children. There are no laws, Carla, on the books in the United States government that protect our children. We have laws protecting dogs, but we have no laws to protect children.
Well, we're going to start something today. And whatever, I promise you, this is not just an idle comment coming out of my mouth. But whatever I can do to help and push this and make the create laws to help our children, you know, I'm thinking to do it. And let me know whatever I'm here. Thank you so much, Teresa Edwards. Thank you for the listeners and the people in our chat room. We end this part of our segment with a song by Ronald Hatcher, a.k.a. with the title "Hold On." I know this track right here has been holding this family together. Is a beautiful song. Thank you guys. Thank you guys. Enjoy.
Hold on, you can make it.
Song that was Ron Anthony with Hold On, and I know that his family is there. They're holding on just with that track right there. I believe in life that there's a reason for everything. And out of this devastation and tragedy and death and the death of Aaron Hatcher, it's life. It's the opportunity for other children to live. And that's why I think this show was so very important. And I didn't think it would touch me so, but I just want the Hatcher family to know that I love you all. I don't know you all, but I know Ron, and I know this is a beautiful person inside and out. And so know that things will happen in a way, whereas it's beneficial and it's a blessing for everyone. All right, so let me not digress necessarily, but got to get a little bit excited and upbeat. We got a fun segment coming up. I got some funny to talk about. Yeah, I think y'all know. That's what happens right now. He's coming straight from a place I wish I was. I'll tell you guys, it's the place that where he is right now, it's like another world. I'm telling you, I've been to this place one time, okay? And my experience there, when I got there, okay, we're driving. I actually drove my car from this one location to this part of the world. and the first person I saw that spoke to me, I guess I was looking baffled because he looked at me. He was like, "Ma, you okay? You okay, Ma?" And I just cracked up because I've always heard people from New York talk like that. And, you know, I'm like, "Yeah, I'm okay. Thank you." We got Tiangelo. Tiangelo, he's in the NYC Manhattan. Doing it big. I've been following you on Facebook, boy.
I am. Hey, how are you?
Leave me alone. I'm just so jealous. I wanna play something. I like.
Nah, 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 come on.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Nah, 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 nah,
come on.
What's going on? Talk to me. What's good in the
Oh, my goodness. Okay, girl. Okay, so for everybody, follow the Facebook because I want you to experience this with me. I had one of my followers on Facebook today call up, check this out. She hit me up and she was like, "T, I'm seeing that you in all, I'm hearing that you're in all these places because you keep checking in with you in Times Square, you in Jersey, you in this." What a picture. She said, "What a picture." Because I had to stop posting pictures because it became so cumbersome. So you got to get all the pictures. And so I was like, "Oh, dang." She said, "I'm following a journey. I need my pictures." So y'all got to check it out. I just posted two pictures like about 2 or 3 hours ago. I got another phone full of them to get to you guys. It's, girl, okay. Another world is the perfect way to describe this place. I keep snapping pictures. I'm trying to embrace and let everybody understand and try to get the magnitude. Everything in here is magnanimous. Nothing small. Everything is humongous, okay? And I'm loving everything about it. I'm going from right now, I'm looking. Go ahead.
No, I'm just wondering, because I know that, like, every time I go to sleep at night, when I think of New York, I'm just, like, in Manhattan, and I'm looking up in the sky, and there's cars flying in the sky. Is it that yet?
That's the only thing missing. That's what they have done for you is opposed to cars like physically flying in the sky, the buildings are so high up, they have TV screens on like the 87,000th floor, and they got stuff flying across that so you could feel like it's cars flying in the air.
It's so beautiful.
It's so humongous.
You.
It's so beautiful. I just came from Times Square.
Yes, huh? Yes.
I just came from Times Square. It seems like everyone just got in last night because Times Square is packed. And so let me tell you a quick little funny. So I called you up last night, you know, wanting to do some TV something, you know, wanting to get a camera on me. And so I'm sitting in Times Square, like right where you ever see on TV, they have like these red staircases where everyone's sitting on the staircases. I'm sitting there just taking in the scenery. And I look to my right, it's a lady with her microphone, cameraman, interviewing people.
Oh, you're lying. You better have got in there.
What the hell do you mean? Girl, I went down there. I was like, "What is she doing?" I said, "Hi, could you just take a picture of me, act like I'm being interviewed so I can post on my Facebook?" And they were like, "Well, no one's interviewed you." I said, "Well, great. I'm a media correspondent as well, so this might be pretty fun." Did the interview. They loved it. They're actually, it's some internet show, whatever, coming to Hollywood. I said, "You're going to Hollywood?" They said, "Yeah." I said, "I live out there. Here's my business card. Let's talk."
Okay, that's what's up.
And so you have to wait because the pictures are on my camera and not on my phone. It takes a little longer to upload them. Who was with her pretend to be you and had him snapping pictures of me being interviewed. He got like 5 pictures that like looked like you took them. And like, this interview was so hilarious. It was so great. That was a lot of fun.
Is that insult or something? Like I took him, like I take bad pictures or something?
No. I said he took him like you. You know how when we do our red carpets, you have him take still pictures of us being interviewed. He did that.
Okay.
Yeah. No, that part of it.
I'm like, what do you mean by that? But go ahead. Okay.
No. He took still pictures of me being interviewed. So that was great. Oh my gosh. And then I had this moment. It was an emotional moment for me. I walked past Madison Square Garden.
Wow.
Now, it was a quick moment. I didn't have a lot of time because I was going to catch a train and go to New Jersey. But, oh, my goodness. So for everyone listening who doesn't know, Madison Square Garden is, like, the place for me to perform. Like, out of all the places on the world for me, or in America anyway, the place I want, the place to perform is Madison Square Garden. And so I was able to stand outside of it for just about 3 or 4 minutes because I had to catch a train, but we'll be going to meet her tomorrow. And it was such an emotional thing because I'm like, you know what? I'm so close yet so far away because my name was not on the marquee. So I'm thinking 2013. What you think? I'm thinking 2013, Tiana Romaine needs to be on the marquee.
I think 2012 is going to happen. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
It's people everywhere, fashion everywhere, beautiful people, rude people, too. My friend was here, and he simply said hello to somebody. He said, oh, hi, how are you doing? Don't talk to me. I don't know you.
Exactly. I'm going to tell you a funny story really quick,
okay.
If you don't mind. Considering it's my show that you're calling on, I think I can tell.
Storytelling.
Really quickly, I was in the car, and you know me, I was living in Atlanta at the time. I had got some Southern hospitality in me, and I was really nice. So I'm at a crosswalk, okay? I'm driving, and people are walking across the street in front of me, and the cars behind me are blowing their horns. And I'm looking, I'm like, what? Because they ran, I let them walk across the street. I'm like, are you serious?
Yeah, you're supposed to hit them.
Yeah, I was supposed to hit them, evidently. They were pissed off. Yeah, so, that was crazy.
I'm learning the same thing. I'm just like, okay, the people are walking. And then the bicycle that's rolling through, the skateboarder, the vehicle, the diesel truck, the police officer on the horse, everyone's going opposite direction. Just get in where you fit in. It's crazy, but I'm loving it. So actually right now I'm going for tourists. I'm leaving my tourist look. So for those following the Facebook page, you saw me in a red polo with some plaid shorts on. Well, I'm about to switch it up and go into rock star mode. So right now I'm about to put on the pants with some, you know, get the hair all juiced up. And I'm about to do some stretches and a little warm-up. So when I get to the club, everything will be shaking and dipping and rocking so I can get a low bust. And so it's going to be – I'm a rock star. That's all I can say about that.
You are a rock star. And
I got a big city. I got a big city. It's gonna be bright lights. I'm a party. I'm gonna sleep all day and party all night.
Yeah, you are. And I'm looking at you. I'm like, oh my god, because I haven't been a fan of the Facebook application checking in. But after you done checked in, getting a bite to eat, I thought I tweeted too much, but you checking in everywhere, getting a bite to eat.
I was like you. I didn't like to check. I'm like, I'm not checking, and you need to know where I am all the time. And I don't always check in. And when I'm on a journey, I think the check-in is cute because you get to see where I am from. But, on my regular day-to-day, no, you don't need to know I'm at home. You need to know that.
Right.
When I'm here from Madison Square Garden to Times Square to the Bronx to the boroughs to Manhattan, you want to know, and I want you to be there with me.
And it looks like the weather is perfect. Weather out there is perfect. Look at your right on Facebook. It's so beautiful. Clear. All right.
Say, I'm sorry.
Pictures look great. They're just so perfect and clear.
Yeah, you know what? That's my phone. I got this new T-Mobile phone. I'm not going to rip it out. Y'all jacket for my stuff. Mm-hmm. But I got this great phone, and it just takes the best pictures. I have a great little photographer with me. He's in training. He's
really
pretty good.
Yes. Well, I want to say that you are just a bomb diggity. And give our listeners, some listeners that may not know what your Facebook is, T'Angelo, share with them
certainly.
So they can take this journey like I'm taking it, because it's exciting.
It has been. So if you want to check out Facebook with me and my journey of New York, you can go to facebook.com/T'Angelo. That's T-E-A-N-G-E-L-O. Again, that's T-E-A-N-G-E-L-O. And definitely hit me up, you guys. Post a comment. If it's someplace out here you heard worth checking out, let me know. Maybe I'll be in the area and check that out.
I got one.
What you got?
Make
what
sure.
You got?
Take a picture. I took a picture, all of us, the media hosts, when we went to New York for our Taking It to the Street tour back like 4 years ago when we first launched EOTM Radio. The first place that we went, it was me, Sweet T, and Say 2. We went to in Manhattan to the library, that big library where they filmed so many different films. What's that movie?
Oh, Sex and the City. She got married there.
Yeah, that library. Go there and take some pictures on that. The front steps of that library is just
bomb.
Okay,
I have to find it.
Yeah, it's right in Manhattan, not too far from the Sean Puffy Combs store.
Okay.
In Manhattan, so it's like up the street from there, and just where everything beautiful and free and just loving life.
You know where else I'm gonna go tonight? This is crazy.
Where?
You know where else I'm gonna go tonight? They have an Apple store that's open 24 hours.
Oh, my God. Apple, yeah. Oh, my God.
So I don't know if I'm going to go. It's 12. It's 11:30 out here. I might go about midnight, or we might just go at 4 a.m. So you can check out on Facebook when I get to the Apple store, because I can go.
Yeah.
And then you can do about it. Like, I'm going. What you going to say?
Exactly. I'm so jealous. You better have a get back here so we could do something fun and check in.
Oh, my goodness.
I want to check in.
Right.
You know? But you know what? I want to say, boy, keep doing the big things and stuff. And do you have any final words before I close it out? Because we got like 3 minutes left.
Definitely. I'm going to say what I'm going to say. This is kind of becoming my new slogan. I posted this on Facebook, so everybody listen real quick, okay? Live life to the fullest because you deserve it. If you sit around trying to make everybody else happy, don't worry about it because you'll be unhappy. I'm out here doing it a big Willie style.
Yes, I'm so jealous because I'm out here in California doing it Willie style. So, you know, but I wish I was in New York doing a big Willie style because you bomb.
You are so here with me. That you are so. It was my second, third time calling you because you're here with me. I'm loving it. Say again.
I said I answered the phone for you, boo. You know I love you.
Oh, and I appreciate it because everybody don't get answered. I know. Everybody don't get answered. I feel so special. She answered the phone when I called. Somebody dodging my phone calls, but Carla, she's just so good to me.
Yeah. So. And really, thanks so much to you. Continue to have a ball. I'm going to play
it. Well, they're calling me for hair and makeup. I got no getting hair and makeup for tonight's event.
Hair and makeup. I got for you before you go. You got 30 seconds to tell me, so hold tight. I want to let the listeners know, check out T'Angelo. He is the bomb diggity. If you don't know, now you know. Make sure you check out EOTMTV.com for all his red carpet footage. His latest one was just so mad crazy at the Eric Zulli thing. Hilarious. You got to check him out. He looks partying like a rock star.
Yeah.
Check out, everything else. On EOTM Radio, T'Angelo's show, Love, Hate, and the Dance Between Them. Before we leave, this song is dedicated to you, T. I'm just
saying. Okay, what you got for me, Bob? What you got for me, babe?
You gotta listen to it, boo. You gotta listen to it. That's my time, y'all. Make sure before you exit my show, subscribe to receive alerts to future shows because you're not gonna want to miss what's coming out my mouth. Yeah, I said it. All right. Here you go, T. Love you.
Yeah, this is my shit.
I fly with the stars in the skies. I am no longer trying to survive. I believe that life is a prize, but to live doesn't mean you're alive. Don't worry about me and who I fire. I get what I desire, it's my empire. And yes, I call a shot, I am the umpire. I sprinkle holy water upon the vampire. In this very moment, I'm king. In this very moment, I slay Goliath with a sling. This very moment, I bring, put it on everything. That I will retire with the ring, and I will retire with the crown. Yes, no, I'm not lucky, I'm blessed. Yes, clap for the heavyweight champ, me. But I couldn't do it all alone. We, Young Money raised me, grew up out in Paisley, Southside Jamaica, Queens, and it's crazy. Cause I'm still hood, Hollywood couldn't change me. Shout out to my haters, sorry that you couldn't save me. Ain't being cocky, we just vindicated. Best believe that when we done, this moment will be syndicated. I don't know, this night just remind me of everything they deprived me of. Put your drinks up, it's a celebration every time we link up. We done did everything they could think of. Greatness is what we wanna bring up.
That I can have this moment for life.
Down to your knees. Young Money, the mafia, that's where the love sees. I'm in the Dominican, Big Papi Ortiz. Doing target practice, all these bitches just aiming the police. Shout out to the CEO, 500 degrees. Shout out to the OVO, Red Wings and Fatigues. Ah, niggas wanna be friends, how coincidental. This supposed to be all year, we ain't get the memo. A young king, pay me a gold. 40 got a bunch of weed, he ain't even roll. These niggas be dropping cones, they ain't even cold. Weezy on top and that nigga ain't even home yet. Yeah, be very afraid. These other rappers getting bodied and carried away. Fucking me and Nicki, Nick getting married today. And now you bitches that be hating can catch a bouquet. Ooh, yeah, you a star in my eyes. You and all them white girls, party of five. Are we drinking a little more? I can hardly decide. I can't believe we really made it, I'm partly surprised. I swear, damn, this one for the books. Man, I swear this shit is as fun as it looks. Man, I'm really trying to make it more than what it is. Cause everybody dies, but not everybody lives.
I have become alive. I wish that I could have this moment for life. For life. For life. Cause in this moment I just feel so alive. 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 I wish that I could have this moment for life.